Okay, so, right, let's review. We're in the middle of Sif Hey, right? So let's start again from the beginning. Sif Hey, we're not going to chazer what we already discussed, but Maliyah She'eno Yochol Le'ochol Machbas Milcho, right? That we discussed the Gedder of that last time. The Hainu Ke'ein Maliyah She'molchen Le'kedera, which was the Shita of Rabbi Tam and most Rishonim. B'shah K'dei Maliyah Le'kedera, that's the magic words here. Kol's Mach Lo'idicho, Mikri Inunecho Machbas Milcho. Right, we had put that on the board and I just said over some lumbas of the Rav last time. We hadn't really explained it. Insulting, you remember my cat story, right? The Iker Hadin Shir Malicha is 18 minutes. The Iker Hadin Shir Malicha is 18 minutes. So, when do we say Maliach is Kroteach? Says the Mechaber, Vishaha Kedei Malicha Likedeira. Only after 18 minutes is it Kroteach. Until 18 minutes, it's not yet Kroteach. It hasn't worked enough. Only after it works is it Kroteach. Not beforehand. At Ramavi Yesh Omrin, Dila Acher Shashah Ben Milcho Shir Malicha Lo Mikri Achar Kachoteach. Some people say Adrabba, that no, only within 18 minutes it's Roteach. After 18 minutes, it's not Roteach anymore. The exact diametrical opposite of the Mechaber. Ulitzor Gadol, Kiyom Hefzen Merubav, Ulitzor Sudas Mitzvah, Yesh Lismo Kamakilin, only for a big tzorich, like, and this is a big tzorich, this is not a common psak in Ramah. Often he'll say, for hefsim meruba, you can be makel. Here he says, only if it's a hefsim meruba and also a sudas mitzvah, which was the case the Truas Adeshen discussed, that you saw quoted in the Shach. Otherwise, you shouldn't be makel. So, basically, we have here three shitas. Right, no one says explicitly there are three shitas, but out of this comes three shitas. What are my three shitas? Says the Mechaber, says when is Maliach Kiroteach, I mean when in the literal sense of timing, says the Mechaber only after. We'll call it 18 minutes, Shir Malicha. Only after 18 minutes, a mil. Only after Shir Malicha. Says the Ramah B'Sheng Yish Omrim, only within the first 18 minutes. But what does the Ramah hold in normal circumstances? Like, the Ramah says you should only be somech on them if it's a big, big, big shasad chak, like hefs and meruba and sudas mitzvah. Otherwise, what should you assume? Now, if you think about it, this Yesh Omrim argued in two ways on the Mechaber. One, he was mekel that after 18 minutes, it's mutter. What's the svara? The svara is only after 18 minutes because until then, it's not yet, it's not really svara, not yet proteach, but imagine, leah proteach, imagine putting food on the stove, it takes a while to get hot. It takes a while for it to work, right? It's not really much of a svara, it's just restating the Mechaber, because you understand, it takes a while for it to work. What's the svara of the Ramah, of the Yesh Omrim Ramah? Svar the Yesh Omrim Ramah, because afterwards, if the Lashon is Pasak Koach Hamelach, the salt gets used up, the Koach gets used up. So, what is the third opinion? What is the third opinion? So, meaning, what does the Ramah hold like if there's no sudas mitzvah? Okay, thank you. This argued the Chumra and the Kula. The Kula was, after 18 minutes, the salt is used up, it's no problem. And we only rely on that Kula for stock. The Chumra is that even within 18 minutes, it's still Kiroteach. Right? That Chumra remains whether it's Sudas Mitzvah, whether it's Shasa Chak or not. So basically, the Ramah not Shemius Omer, but the Ramah preferred opinion. He never actually says, oh, the Yesh Omer. But what does he say? He says, both within and after. 18 minutes. Oh, good. The both within and after 18 minutes. Within and after 18 minutes. Right? That's what Arma is saying. Meaning, if it's not a Suda's mitzvah to have some Rubah, not only to be so much on the cool of the Yesh Omer. Of course, he has to accept the Chomer of the Yesh Omer. Right? So, what's the Psak Halacha? Let's just see the Psak Halacha so far. This is the Machaber. This is for Sephardi. What if you're Ashkenazi? So what's the Achra for Ashkenazim? The Achra for Ashkenazim is if there is Hefsed Merubah, this Sudas Mitzvah, then we rely on the Shita that it's only within 18 minutes. After the Pasak Halacha Melach. If there's normal circumstances, then we're mafir whether before or after. The Gemara never says anything on Leah for a cap, depending on how long it's been sitting in salt. Either way, it is. It is Kroteach. So that's the normal psak, is that either way it's Kroteach. The big Shasa Torah for Ashkenazim is that you can make them after 18 minutes, and Sfardim hold you can be Mako Dafka before 18 minutes. Okay, this is all a machlokas. What is the Shach Medayik? He's Medayik of proper diuk. After 18 minutes, no matter how much of a shas of chak, we can't be makel. We're never somech on the machaker. We're only sometimes somech on the yesh omer. For Ashkenazim, never rely on the shita of the machaker. That's what comes out of it, right? If you're really stuck, you can be makel after 18 minutes. You can never be makel before 18 minutes. That's ridiculous, right? Meaning, you can't be makel after and before 18 minutes. Then there's no belief after a test. So these are the three shitas, right? These shitas really come from Mishonen. The machaber, it's a bit of a... Tema that he passed in this way, because this is not in a lot of Rishonim. It's in the Ran, it's based on the Bahag, maybe because of the influence of the Bahag. So that's the Machaber based on the Ran, based on the Bahag. The Ramah is based on Tosos. Right, let's put something who holds this. This is the sheet of the Ran. This is the sheet of the Ran. This is the sheet of Tosfos and the Rush and one day in the Smog. But Tosfos and the Rush is good enough. And the last opinion is the Shach quotes many even Rishoni Ashkenaz who hold that it's also either way the Sefer Truma and the Shari Dura and the Urzarua, and that's what the Rashba sounds like. Truma Shari Dura is quoted by the Shach. The Urzarua is quoted by the Shach. The Rashba is in the Beis Yosef sounds that way, and basically, a lot of Rishonim don't say anything. Okay, he doesn't say anything explicitly. A lot of Rishonim don't say anything. What I would write here is the stimas, right? Meaning they write stam of Harvey Rishonim. Okay, yeah. Okay, now, here the Shach has a bone to pick with the Trumas Hadeshen. The Trumas Hadeshen, who the Isra Heter agreed with, who the Rama agreed with, all started with a Kasha. The Kasha is that some Rishonim wrote that after 18 minutes, it's Mutar Pasuk Kach HaMelech. Melech. And other Ashkenazic Rishonim wrote that it's Asr even after 18 minutes. So what do you do with the Stira, right? What does he quote here? He quotes from me. He basically quotes the whole Trumas Hadeshen, his case, etc. He said, Tosos and the Rush and one day in the Smag is Mekel, but the Sefer Truma and the Shari Dura and the Urza Ruah say it is awesome. So, okay, we put the Smag. Fine, let's put the Smag. Fine, he brings that there. So what do you do with this Stira? The Stira is Tosos and the Rush and the Smag within Mishone Ashkenaz. Versus the Sefer HaTruma, the Shari Dura, and the Orzarua. What do you do with the Stira? So one answer to the Stira is the Truma Sadeshen, who the Esser Behetar agrees with and the Ramah agrees with. They say it is a Machlokas Rishonim. What do we say? Pasak Lachamela. It's a Machlokas Rishonim. And therefore, what do they do once it's Machlokas Rishonim? So they say, well, we'll hold like the more Makel Rishonim if it's Hefsa Meruba, this Sudas Mitzvah, which was the case of the Shumas Hadeshen. And normal, in normal cases, we'll hold like the more Machlokas Rishonim. The Shach disagreed. What did the Shach say? What did the Shach say, Isaac? Exactly. They were talking about after 18 minutes of salting to kasher, to remove dam. And they were talking, the Achmir were talking about after 18 minutes of salting not to remove dam. I'm not talking about your kavana, where there's no dam to remove. Let's say, you know, it was something that already had the dam removed, or something without dam in the first place. Right? He says there's no stira, no machlokas. Everyone agrees. What does he say? He says everyone agrees. When is pasak kolach melach? If the salt. Now here, again, you might say it's a little too anthropomorphic in terms of how he treats the salt. But if the salt worked hard to remove blood to kasher, then it used up all its energy after 18 minutes. If the salt was just salting stam but wasn't removing blood, that's not such hard work. And even after 18 minutes, it still has koch. Okay, I mean, truth is, the anthropomorphism does bother me. It is true, every chemical, no matter the more it accomplishes, probably, the more it uses up its power more quickly. It's just an interesting assumption that because removing blood is something very famous and halachic, as opposed to stam salting things, which is not something that we find as Hashivos and Shas. He assumes likewise from a chemical perspective, when you remove blood, that uses up more power than salt. When you just stop salt and remove juice, right? Because when you salt and juices come out, it doesn't use up power of the salt. That is the psak of the Shach. Therefore, the Shach wants to say, you don't need to be achriya originally between Makom Tzorach Gadol and not Tzorach Gadol. It's very simple. After 18 minutes of salting, you're done. Totally not karotach, even if it's not a shas hakach. After 18 minutes of salting, just stam, like juice comes out, but you're not doing any, removing any dam, then there's never room to be mekel. That's what he wants to say. But at the end, he says, l'maisa, he's doing machmer like himself and like the Trumas Hadeshen. Halach l'maisa, how do we paskin? L'maisa, we paskin. The shach himself. The shach is machmer both ways. What does that mean that he's machmer both ways? That means that after salting stam, ain't mohakel, because he thinks no Rishon was ever makel after salting stam, and after salting to remove dam, Yesh lahakel, but only b'makom hefsid meruba this sudas mitzvah. Okay, that's taking the chumras of both opinions. Shach himself would have said, if you told people that you make a leader, there's no hefsid. And the Ramah would have said you can make only for 18 minutes of any salting if there's a hefset Reuben Sus. That's what the Shachmiyah decides he's going to be machmer both ways. Okay, these are not kashas that shaylos rather that typically come up in our lifestyles, but halacha l'maaseh we hold like the end of the Shach that he's machmer both ways.
He's also machmer before 18
minutes, obviously. Before what?
Before 18 minutes.
Before 18 minutes, there's no havri make at all. Right? Let's just put halacha l'maaseh. Within 18 minutes, in for Ashkenazim, in Shomakom Lahakel, Klal, according to any Ashkenazim. Meaning, the Ashkenazim disagree with Machaber in two ways. Now, one, they're Macher, within 18 minutes, there's no room to be Makel, and that's set in stone, no compromise. Number two, they might or might not be Makel after 18 minutes. They're for sure Macher within 18 minutes. They might or may not be Makel after 18 minutes, and that's the issue with the Shach of the Trumas Edition. Okay, let us continue the Ramah. Then, continuing the Ramah says, Afilo nimlach avos v'shnei tzadav rak mitzad echad kol sh'nimlach v'licho shem yidin echad lachas milcho choshem v'teach. Okay, that was a bit of a din in the Rishonim, but that's in Paskin. Avo kol sh'lo nimlach kol kach mech shev tzonein afilo nimlach tzei tzadav. If it was only salted a little, meaning you didn't put on so much salt, even on both sides, is not karoteach. V'yesh omrim, this is what we left off with last time, the anan lo b'kiyim b'tavar v'yesh lo nechashir afil melechaslik roteach b'tov lahakir mokim shen hefzim beruva. Okay, that's been an Ashkenaz, we're not experts. Maybe what we think is not so salted really is so salted. So even if it's salted, like when people barbecue, which we're not familiar with, we don't salt them with barbecue because we buy kashrut meat. Right, but if we salted freshly shafted meat, if we barbecued freshly shafted meat, we would put on some medium amount of salt. Even that, and a local mice, that means is any large amount of salt would be machmir. Maybe that's called a nunachmach smilcho, and maybe it's karotech. Continuing in the machaber, which we got already, umaliyake, maliyat the boy, little orcha, fila achashi, dicho, hare, eno, have a nunachmach smilcho, kozman, shall show up a mayim, dino, karotech, lesser, kneklipa. We discussed that already. The ein chiluk says the machaber, being maliyach elyon, the tafel tachtom, maliyach tachtom, the tafel elyon, the olam, ha maliyach, mavliya, the tafel. The ein noboleya mi menu says the machaber, and again here, this machaber I admit is a little misleading because in Siman Kof Hey it'll be a machlokas machaber the Ramah, and the machaber will not really hold this way as the Shach points out earlier in Siman Ayin, which we're not going to get to this year, and later on in Siman Kof Hey, which we will get to this year. It's a big machlokas you're showing. Do we say Tata gover and ila gover by salt or not? What do we mean? Not for hot and cold. Hot and cold is not maliyah. By maliyah and tafel. Tafel with a tuff. Nothing to do with tafel with a tess. Tafel with a tuff means unsalted. Just means unsalted. So, how about, right, tata v'ilah. Do we apply the rule of tata v'ilah to you know what? We're going to come back to this in a little bit. So far, what's he saying? We don't apply the rule of tata v'ilah. What rule do we apply if one object is salted and one object is not salted, right? If one object is hot and one is cold, we apply the rule of tatagah. What if one object is salted, one object is not salted? So there's a Gemara. The Gemara says, tar maliach v'tamei tafel versus tamei maliach v'tavar tafel. There it happens to be discussing salted fish, kosher tray fish, but it's the same for everything. The principle of the Gemara is that if one object is salted and one is unsalted, what happens? Exactly. The salted one infects the unsalted one. The unsalted one does not infect the salted one. That actually makes a lot of sense, because what happens when you salt something? It makes the juices come out. So that makes sense. It doesn't make things come in, it makes things go out. So, says the machaber here, when you salt something, the juices go out into the unsalted, but nothing draws the juice of the unsalted into the salted. Okay. That is the unlike when it comes to, hot and cold. So, that's what he continues here, and he says, Hilkach, Basru Kvina Maluchim Shinogum Zebzeh, Tarach Liklof Shnei Amokum Liki Asa, Vim Echmi Amaluch Asheni Tafel, Hamaluch Motorbadacha, Vatafel Tarach Klipa. Okay, what's the principle? The principle so far sounds very simple. If here we have Maliach, and here we have Maliach, what happens? The tav goes in both directions, right? The Maliach on the right gives its taste to Maliach on the left. The Maliach on the left gives its taste to Maliach on the right. What happens if one is meat, one is milk? And now we're held with Nasr Kalam, not held with the Taruma straight from culture. The answer is the meat needs Klipa and the cheese needs Klipa. Pretty simple. What if one is Maliach and one is Tafel? Then it's very simple. The taste of the Maliach goes into the Tafel because the salt causes the juices to come out and go into the Tafel. The taste of the Tafel, nothing brings out the juices, does not go in to the Maliach. Again, this is very different from hot and cold. When you put hot and cold things next to each other, it might be the Klipa, it might be Tatagov or Ilagov, etc. But we never heard that one of the objects infects, the A infects B, but B doesn't infect A. It's always transitive, right? If hot cheese lands on cold milk, the cold meat, or hot meat lands on cold cheese, then, or hot milk lands on cold meat, or hot meat lands on cold milk, then, however much one is also the other is also, right? But with salting, it is different. That's the shita of the mechaber here. The Ramah actually disagrees. In Siman Kuf Hey, we'll get to it. Sif Yud, the Ramah Paskins, like the Shita of the Ran, who says that, nope, in this case also, if a salted object touched an unsalted object, then they will each ask each other to be Klipa. What did the Gemara mean? The merman when they're not touching. Imagine, if they're not touching, then the juice of the salt goes into the unsalted one. The unsalted one can't possibly go back to the salted one, so they're not touching. But if they're touching, then the fact that they're touching each other and that board, basically, let us just mention what we're going to see in Kuf Hei Sif Yud, is that if here you have Maliach, and here you have Tafel, then the juice of the Maliach goes into the Tafel. How could the Tafel possibly affect the Maliach? No juice comes out. But if here you have Maliach, here you have Tafel, and they're touching, then what do you mean they're touching? Maybe where they're touching, the salt affects both of them. Here, the Mechaber says that the Bli only goes one way, and the Ramah, the Mechaber's like, most Rishonim, the Ramah following the Ran says the Bliya goes both ways. Why? It's a very technical machlokas here, it seems to be. Since the Tafel is touching the Maliach, maybe the salt can also affect the Tafel and make the taste of the Tafel come out into the Maliach. I mean, affect the Tafel. You can get the taste out of the Tafel. Meaning, when you're touching something salty, does that get taste out of you? That's a machlokas, other Rishonim and Ran, Machaber Ramah, and we'll get to it in some kofay. So the Ramah says, if they're not touching each other, the juice of one flows to the other. Yeah, exactly. No shadows, they're not touching. No, but it wasn't salted, and the juice went on to the other thing. You would just rinse the juice off, and it wouldn't hurt it. Okay, now, but let us, that's in Siman Kuf Hey. Let's go back and see what the Mechaber says here. Let's continue the Ramah. We'll leave that line for a moment. These are all very technical points. Okay, let us see what the Ramah just said. The Ramah says, when do we say Maliach to Tafel? The Maliach goes into the Tafel, but the Tafel doesn't go into the Maliach. That is when the Dover Tafel is Yavish. Right? But what if the Dabar Tafel is, I mean lach moist. I mean lach liquid. What if the Dabar Tafel is a liquid, right? Dabar Tzolo, right? Tzolo doesn't mean moist. It means liquid. As a matter of fact, let me use English words so we'll be very clear what's going on here. Here is a Tafel that is solid. But what if you have Maliach, and here you have a Tafel that is a liquid? What do I mean? Salted meat falls into milk. What happens if you have salted meat falls into milk, where milk pours on salted meat? Now, here you understand, when it's meat falling into milk, they really get a lot more combined, because like the milk can go into the pores of the meat, etc. Right? So says the Ramah, in this case, again, it really makes perfect sense. Here you have, this is the Machaber. This is the Machaber. This is the Ramah. The taste goes both ways. The taste of the meat goes into the milk, but the taste of the milk also goes into the meat, because since it's liquid, it goes into the pores, it'll get in there. Okay, very reasonable. I'm not a chemist, but it sounds reasonable to me. The Shach here discusses what about the opposite case? What if you have Maliach and Tafel, but the Maliach is liquid? What if the Maliach is liquid? Then what happens? Right? The Shas have cut into Zion. He says, what if only the milk is salted? Okay, I don't know why you need salted milk, but it could be. No, no, the milk is a suspension of salt. You have a suspension of salt in milk. What? No, no, sorry, suspension is a technical word. It means the salt is dissolved in milk. Right? So you have salted milk and meat. It's a very weird case. And then he brings down a machlokes haposkim again. How likely is this to happen? I am not sure. He says, what about in this case? The Maliach clearly gives its time to the Tafel. But does the Tafel also go back to the Maliach? After all, if the Tafel is liquid, it goes back to the Maliach. What if the Maliach is liquid? So here he brings in machlokes. Rishonim says the Hagos Mordechai. Make sure to know which is which. He says it only goes one way. However, he quotes from the Smag in the Mordechai. That the time goes both ways. And he says that the Torah's Chatas Paskin Lekula in this. That's the Ramah's Sefer on your dad. And the Shach himself, Pasta Lechomer. Okay, unlikely that we're really going to get the Shaiba coming up. But then you have a Machlokas. Okay, so here is the principle of Tohar, Meluach, Tafel, Tameh, etc., etc. Right? With all the different permutations. No, because since salty juice is going on to it, the salty juice gets absorbed to the klipa. Oh, the juice is salty, yeah. Yes. I think that's when you see us what happens. Okay. Continuing in the Ramah, let's just read again the last line of this Ramah. B'davka sha'tor lach tzas, abol muyavesh l'gamre, ein mole medover lach she'etzlo. This is only if it's moist. Lach tzas means moist, as opposed to liquid. But if it's dry, dry not mean solid, but dry mean dry, you have to be careful to know when they mean solid versus liquid, when they mean dry versus moist. That's why he says lach tzas versus yavesh l'gamre. To make clear, lach tzas means moist. Yavesh l'gamre means totally dry. Ein mole medover lach she'etzlo, it will not absorb from the liquid next to it. Why? Because this next mechaber v'mhem yaveishim afil meluchim. If something's really dry, even if it's salty, olach v'lo machlicha, or something is moist, but not because of salting, then sagibad dacha. It's enough to do a dacha. What's the principle here? Here's a new principle. The last line of the Ramah and this line of the mechaber are a new principle. What's the new principle? The second half of the mechaber is not really a principle. It's just that if something's moist, but it wasn't salted, then it's not liach protech. Okay, she's got a But the first line is why he bothered to write this. Even if something salted, the last line of this Ramah and the first, and this little line of Machaber in between the Ramah. Even if something salted, if it's totally dry, then it's not Karoteach. Meaning, what do we mean by this? How long does it take to get totally dry? Not 18 minutes. Right? If you salt something long enough, it will get totally dry. Then everyone agrees, Pasak Koach HaMelach. Everyone agrees when it's totally dry, Pasak Koach HaMelach. That's not a Machlok for Rishonim. And therefore, when it's totally dry, everyone agrees that all the Melach is gone. And therefore, that's not Meliach Karoteach anymore.
Why did that be the before?
What?
Why did we use that before? Like a
much clearer indication of that. Yeah, because some Rishonim want to be maple even after 18 minutes. I mean, because they want to be more maple. No, I mean, they want to be more maple like an agenda to reform. I mean, they thought that was the MS, and therefore they thought it was important to point it out, right? Yes?
What if it has to be dry? You sprinkle salt on and immediately touch?
Well, again, if you put a lot of salt on it, you mean, what if it touches before the salt does anything, like not within 18 minutes, within 18 seconds before anything happens, then I think he would agree that yes, I have no idea how long it starts for the juice to start flowing. But let's say I put a layer of salt on something and it just looks like salt from the package. Then he would agree that that's not a problem.
In we're talking about the issue of Licha, and really it's not eight minutes, right?
17 and a half minutes, or whatever, what have you. Again, I have no practical experience. You're right. So, for the first few seconds, or however long, when it's dry, that's not Meliach Karoteach. After all, a box of salt is not Meliach Karoteach. It has to be the chemical process. So, basically, everyone agrees, meaning the machlokes, how about at the beginning of the process or end of the process, right? Machlokes, machaber, and what? What about the beginning and end of the process? That means the first 18 minutes and after 18 minutes. But the very beginning of the process, if I put the salt on and nothing happens, or the very end of the process, when nothing's happening anymore, the salt is totally gone, then everyone agrees that's not Karoteach.
So
Meliach
does not start right away.
Before I said it starts right away, but I start right away mean as soon as you see that it gets moist.
Well, it seems there must be a lot of cases of the thing that's being Koleach, meaning it's the thing that the Meliach is touching.
Yeah, but he really means the thing that's Meliach is Yodish. That just happens to be the example he's starting with. The thing that's Meliach is solid. The Ramah has only discussed where the Meliach thing is solid. Only the Shachmor in the case of the Meliach thing is liquid. So the Ramah says the Meliach thing is solid. He says if that solid thing is dry, meaning if the Meliach thing is dry, then it's no problem.
So why is that?
Meaning even from Dabar Lasha Etzlon, Kal Shekain from Dabar Yavesh Etzlon. Why? Because remember, it wouldn't be Balami Dari Yavish Etzlow, even if it was Meliach Karoteach, because the Tuffel is going to the Meliach. So that's why he says it never Balayah from Dari Yavish Etzlow. If it's dry, it's not even Balayah from Dari Yavish Etzlow. Right. Now, if the Ramah was now talking in Simon Kofei after what he said in Sidyon, he would have said it's not Balayah from Dari Yavish Etzlow that it's touching. Okay. Continuing in the Ramah, then Kalt Siri Bashanimlach Alon Nimlach Rakhli Khashid Roteach. Rishonim make a rule. This rule applies to Machaber also, he doesn't say it here, but it's clear in Hilchos Melicha, that the tzir, what does tzir mean? Tzir means the salty juice that drips out. The brine, right? Brine is always Karoteach, even if the meat is not Karoteach. What does this mean for the Machaber who doesn't talk, but he does say this in the Beis Yosef? Even with the 18 minutes, the meat's not Karoteach, but the brine that drips is, for the Ramah. Even if it's only Necha Nimlach Letzli, and even before, even if we're Bekiyim, the meat's not Karoteach, but the tzir is always Karoteach. What's the logic? Logic is very clear. The tzir is always saltier than the meat. Okay, we accept that. V'lachin, therefore, that's enough Gamina. Enough, let's see, ala gvino ala kli, oser, afil mach machina buser, oser, lo nefser, grotech, miko mach matzir, chashvino necho, mach mas milcho. Even in a case where the meat consider necho mach mas milcho. But if the tzir drops, you're salting the meat, and the meat's not salty enough to be considered grotech, but the drop of brine falls on cheese, drop of brine is always more salty. And it's grotech, and also the cheese can be clean. Or if it drops on a kli, obviously meant on a milk kli, a flesh kli would be no problem. or you're salting treif meat, and it drops on a kosher kli, then it asers that kli, today klipa, which might as well aser the whole kli. Okay. Tzir shel baser, and therefore he concludes, tzir shel baser shel oser shel nafal kli tzar chagal. If tzir of baser, that is oser that falls on a kli, the kli now needs hagala. Again, either if tzir of kosher meat falls on a melchik kli, or if tzir of treif meat falls on any kli, it needs hagala. The im of kli cheres are shmir, and if it's a kli cheres, you can't do hagala to a kli cheres, so you need to break it. What if it only falls on one spot of a kli eitz or similar? Not that it fell all over, but not that tons of tzir fell all over. It fell on one spot. Then the Rambam gives you an eitzah. Says if it fell on the whole kli, then it's just not practical. Not a halach point. It's not practical to be kolif a whole kli. Right? The kli will not survive taking a peel off the whole kli. But what if it falls on one spot? Then, everyone knows in wood, you can whittle it, right? I don't know if anyone ever whittled. Okay, so when you whittle wood, you take off a klika at a time, right? So if it fell on one spot of a kliyeh, you can whittle that spot away, and then it's kosher to the liach long enough to the klika, and therefore it's no problem. Okay, here there are two interesting pisli tshuvas. The first pisli tshuva quotes machlokes in the Prima Gadim versus the rest of the world. Earlier in Zisukan Ches, in Simon Sav Tes, he says you have to look what I wrote there. How much are you dying for the Ramah? The Ramah says a kli cheres you have to throw in the garbage. Right? But a kli eitz, etc., you can just whittle away the kedei klipa. So says the Prima Gadim, he says the diuk is in a kli eitz you can cut off the kedei klipa. But a kli cheres is bolea more than a kedei klipa because it's so porous. And therefore can't be saved. He's been dying for some other kli cheres is more than a kli klipa and melicha, which is a very chesh. All the other achronim disagree. They say, no, that's ridiculous. Melicha only goes through kli klipa, only makes the taste penetrating kli klipa. Doesn't matter what kind of kli it is. Why do Rama say only wood? Because wood, it's practical to whittle away a kli klipa. Cheres, it's not practical. Again, nowadays you probably have some better tools. But if you have a good knife, you can cut off a kedei klipa from one part of a kli eitz. It's not practical, even if you have a good knife. It's very hard to cut off a kedei klipa from a kli cheres, so it just wasn't practical. So the machlokas that is being referenced, is being hyperlinked by the pisli tshuvas about ches is, why did Rama say only kli eitz, not kli cheres? Everyone says, and we paskin like all the other achronim, oh, because practically, it's not practical to cut a klipa off a kli cheres. And the Prima Gadim says, no, chiddush din, that a kli cheres, it goes through more than a klipa. We reject this Prima Gadim. We say he was being too medayed. The Ramah was just making a practical point. Sifkat and Tess, he quotes a Chamudei Daniel. Kasa the Kisvei Rav Agon Rav Daniel Zatzal. Those Kisvei Rav Agon Rav Daniel Zatzal, in the end, were published. Obviously, this book wasn't printed when he wrote the Pisvei Chuba. It says Kasa the Kisvei, right? But in the end, the book was printed, and it was called Chamudei Daniel, right? I bought a copy for the shelf in Beis Medrash, you can look it up if you want. Says the Chamudei Daniel, he says, ah, what if this is something that can come up halach l'maisa? Maybe not insulting, because like we don't really salt things in our house so much, but what if it dropped only on one little piece of the kli? So what do? You have to peel off, whittle away that little part, and you don't remember where. You have a big kli, and there's one spot that the brine landed on, but you don't know where that spot is. How is this relevant to us? And forget about the salting. The same thing that happened to us. You have a milchik kli, you're frying schnitzel. What's the first rule of frying schnitzel? I don't know. My wife knows all kinds of rules of frying schnitzel that have to do with making it come out edible and tasting good. I don't know any of those rules, but I know one rule of frying schnitzel. When you fry schnitzel, take everything that's milchik or even pariv and move it far away because the oil always spritzes. What if you're frying schnitzel and a bit of oil spritzes onto a milchik kli? Now you might have a problem on your hands. But what if you're not sure where it landed? That's one little spot. You don't know where that spot is. Says the Chamudei Daniel, a big einfall, a big chiddush. He says, ah, well, let's say it landed on 1/50th of the surface area of the kli. So 1/50th of the surface of the kli is treif. 49/50ths are kosher. Ah, so the treif part is butel to the kosher parts. And therefore it's mutter. That's the chiddush of the Chamudi Daniel, that it's a chiddush, meaning it's all parts of one thing. It says the treif square inch is butel to the kosher square inches. That's the chiddush of the Chamudi Daniel. So he says, if you can do a gola, you should do a gola, but if you can't do a gola, then you can use the rule of bit older rules. That's his chiddush, that even one object with different parts, you can call it a tarovis. Not that I can think of offhand. Yes. Aha. So here is the tricky part, and really this has to do with this has to do with what we'll have to see later on in Siman Kuf Tes. Takes a little bit to get to. But in what's called Tarovus Yavish B'Yavish, which means that if you have a mixture of kosher and treif, but the kosher and treif don't blend their tastes together. The kosher only tastes kosher, the treif only tastes treif. Like, let me give you an example. I have 3 cups of, I have 3 cold meatballs wrapped in saran wrap, in a Ziploc bag, even better. 3 Ziploc bags, each has a meatball. 1 is treif, 2 are kosher. But the taste didn't combine. When the taste doesn't combine, that's called yavish b'yavish, and the rule is all you use are roof. So here, the taste didn't combine. The whole point is the treif taste only went in one part, not in the other part. Okay, that's the chiddush, the kula of the Chamudi Daniel. Just, you have to add one thing to get this Chamudi Daniel to make sense. Based on what we'll learn later in Siman Kuf Tes. Hold on a second. Now, let's say you're going to cook in that kli, or put hot food in that kli, whatever. Now, what's the problem? The problem is that the taste of the treif part of the kli and the taste of the kosher parts of the kli will all combine in the food. And now, if the treif is more than a 1/60th, it'll be a problem, because it'll all combine in the food. So you have to add one caveat to the Chamudi Daniel. He's right in one condition. If whenever you put food in the kli, the liah treif in the kli would be less than a 1/60th. It could be more than a 1/60th of the surface area of the kli, but as long as it would be less than a 1/60th of the food, that's no problem, because by the time you combine all the tastes together in the food, it'll be less than a 1/60th. So the Chamudi Daniel is right if it would end up being less than a 1/60th, in which case it's not as big of a chiddush you might think, because many of the machabers make on that. Anyway, we'll get to it. Yes? Are you asking me in science or in halacha? No. In halacha, no, because a scientist would tell you it really all depends on all kinds of variables that I could keep track of if I had a good lab. And the halachas would tell you that we made a general rule. Since we can never keep track of these variables, we always assume that all, basically, the rule of blios is whenever a blios ta'am could go from one thing to another, whether it's food to food that you're cooking together, whether it's food to kli, etc., kli to food, we always assume that all the blios went from here to there and that all the blios stayed here and didn't go anywhere. Why? Because since we don't have, in those days, they didn't have equations. Even nowadays, you and I don't know equations. And even if we knew the equations, you and I don't own the instruments to measure, to know exactly when the blias transfer, when they leave from one place to go to another place, and when they don't, we always have to assume the worst. So that's a cloud gobble with data.
And I initially put share discussion about that.
Correct. Okay. Correct. Okay. Weiter. I think we're ready to move on. Sadi Aleph Se'ir Vod. Hey, this is actually Machlokes Rishonim. But the Mechaber, neither here nor in some cafe, brings Machlokes Rishonim. The Mechaber just assumes it's Pashut. Sadi Aleph Sifa. Hey, Chamin, they know also Elekhde Klipa, She'im Shem Achaz Me'achatichos Shemina. When do we say that only asters can eat klipa? When neither of the pieces is fatty. Because, remember, we have this on the board also in the Rav's Lamedus. The Gemara says explicitly that tzli, roasted, only makes the klipa go in through a little layer which we call kedeva tzila. But if it's fatty, it goes through the whole thing. So say many bishonim. Gemara never addressed this one way or another. But say many bishonim here. Meliach roteach. So when do we say it's only kedei klipa? When they're not fatty. Shemhaisa shmeina kulasur. But if one of the pieces, if the cheese or the meat is fatty, which is not an unlikely occurrence when it comes to cheese and meat, right? Yeah, the odds are that something will be fatty, unless it's lean meat and low-fat cheese. If one of them is fatty, then kula asur, the bliya goes through the whole thing. Chen kaverta asur, the fatty thing is all lesser, and the other thing is all lesser. Because the fat, literally in fapeya, is permeating the fat, permeates through the whole thing. The fat makes the tam spread more. Okay, that's a cloud, but the fat makes the tam spread more. That will really be discussed to Ikrit Simen Kuf Hei. When we get to Kuf Hei, we'll see how that affects the question of Data and Ilah, but we'll save that. We have to save something to have some suspense for later. Okay, now we're up to Seif Zion. You know what, Isaac, can you to the board, please? Okay. Seif Zion is a Maisa. The Maisa happened. A Yonah Nafa Lekada Nekimcha. A Bar Yonah, a dove, which is what we would call a chicken, right? But they didn't eat chickens as much in those days. They ate chickens. They had chicken days, Chazal. They didn't eat it as much. If you ever do any touring in Israel, you know, what do they eat all the time in the days of Chazal? Doves. Right? That's why you see all those, these columbaria. A columbaria is, I think that's the right word, is a dovecot, is a shomech. In Lashon Chazal, it's a place where you raise doves. And in all the caves in Israel, now, they had lots of dovecotes which are built, etc., but, you know, not wood, etc. We don't wear something, we don't have those anymore. But in all the caves in Israel, they all, you see in the wall, it all has these notches in the wall. It wasn't for them to put all of their JV trophies. That was where they raised doves. And each one was like a nest for a dove of some sort. Okay, I'm not an expert, but somehow it worked. Anyway, so a dove fell into a kada de kimcha. A jar of kimcha is what we call kutach in Hebrew, which was a sour cream dip. And these things had a lot of salt. So, L'chor was the sour cream that was salty. That was salty, not 100% clear. That's the case in the Gemara. Chulin daf kof yud beis. You know what? I'll read it to you. Real life story that happened with three stages of psak. Kof yud beis. Kof yud beis am an aleph. What happened? How about gruzla denof lakada de kancha? Shaya Rav Chinna b'rei d'Rav and Kashruna. Okay, Rav Chinna b'rei d'Rav said it was mutter. Amar Rav man chokim l'mishik yagad l'am Rav Chinna b'rad by b'rei d'Rav and Kashruna. Kasavik yom ha-shmol v'lech v'yotech and imile yagad l'an nechal machal melcho v'l ha'ikot chari nechal machal melcho. Okay, it says, why was he mutter it? Because the kutach is salty. But that the v'lech v'yotech is only if it's eno nechal machal melcho. The kutach was nechal machal melcho. And therefore it was mutter. Okay, so far, not such a big chiddush. We already know that rule. But now, the Gemara makes two caveats. That's only if it's raw. But if it's broiled, then it needs to be peeled. It's usher kedei klipa. And if it has cracks, kuli usher, it's all usher. And if it's spiced, kuli usher, it's all usher. Okay, end of that sugya. So there's the regular case. There's the case of tzli, and there's the case of pili or betobel metablim, cracked or spicy. Apparently the cracks make it absorb more kutach. Why? Because it goes in the cracks. And apparently the spices make it absorb more kutach, because spice makes you absorb more. That's what we'll see in halacha many cases where like harifas and tavlin makes it softer and makes it absorb more. Okay, so what's controversial here? What's controversial here is two machlokot among the Rishonim. What is the first chiddush? The first chiddush that Sli is Asur Kedei Klipa. What are the two ways to translate, to explain Sli? Yeah?
Either roasted or hot.
Exactly. Does it mean broiled or broiling hot? Right? So that's the big machlokas. Do we mean if it's hot, or do we mean even cold cooked meat? Which one of these is a chiddush? Which one of these is not a chiddush? What? Cold's a chiddush. Hot is not a chiddush. Because if a hot, it's not the kuntach. Kuntach's never hot. If a hot meat falls in, what would you have said? Hot meat falls into cold kuntach. What rule would you have applied? Tata gavar, the kuntach is cold, and at the makele bolet veikli, but it's also going to clean, but no chiddush. The shach went down. The Rosh says, ah, but doesn't the meat fall to the bottom? So no, since it started out on top, the kuntach is considered what's on the bottom. Even though the meat eventually sinks to the bottom. Okay, so then this is not a chiddush. What is the svara? Here it's not a chiddush. It's just se'if. What se'if was this? Se'if dalet, right? No chiddush. It's just the din of tatar gavar. But if you say it means even cold, then there's a chiddush. What's the chiddush? Chiddush has nothing to do with heat. Has to do with that cooked meat is soft. The chiddush is soft things absorb the klipa. Chiddush, even cold. Chiddush is that soft meat, I assume it's not after meat, absorbs the klipa, even cold. Okay, that is a chiddush. Now, let's look at the next machlokas. The next machlokas is if it has pili, or if it's metuba metablin, then it is all usser. Okay, what is the machlokas here? Machlokas here is a machlokas in, I guess, parsing. Exactly. Now, even like sleep, which sleep, but whatever sleep you said, right? So here we go, said machlokas. This is obviously a chiddush, right? Obviously a chiddush. It's a reasonable chiddush, right? This is obviously a chiddush, but what kind of chiddush, right? It is definitely a chiddush. Definitely something we didn't know yet, which is fine. I mean, most Gemaras teach us things we didn't know yet. Is it only sleep? I mean, it's the extension of sleep. Basically, Gemara said this. Says the Gemara, if it's sli, it's also big klipa. If it's peely or tolotablo, it's all aser. That means if it's sli, it's also gonna klipa. And within that, if it's peely, matul, tablo, it's all aser. Or no, if it's sli, it's also gonna klipa. In a totally different case, so that's ambiguous. Right? Or even chai, then it would be a much bigger kiddush. Okay, who says these different shitas within the Rishonim? So who says it means even? Anyone want to give me a general breakdown of which kind of Rishonim say which of these shitas in the first look here? Yes? What kind of Rishonim say which shita?
The Sweeney Roteach.
Exactly. This is most of Chachmei Svarad. I mean every single one. Generally, the Chachmei Svarad, they all quote some big pillars of Chachmei Svarad, the Raiva, the Rashba, the Ran, right? It's kind of like this, okay? And the Lashon is Tzli Roteach or Tzli Tzoneh. And who says, no, even cold, who's more Machmer? the Chachmei Ashkenaz, the Beis Yosef quotes the Rush, and the Shach adds the Or Zeruah and the Rabbeinu Peretz and the Smak and the Smag. Right? This is the Rush and the Smag and Smak and the Or Zeruah, and I'm sure I forgot some people he quoted. Rabbeinu Peretz, right? He quoted that Rabbeinu Peretz in this Shas of Katan Chav Aleph. He quoted Rabbeinu Peretz not from Tosfim, it's not Gos Mordechai, the new Rabbeinu Peretz. Okay. Rabbeinu Peretz. Okay. So that's the first machlokas. Let us see how we paskin. Had machlokinim nechol machlokas milcho leinu nechol machlokas milcho hani mili bebosser chai. Aval tzli roteach, that's the magic word. Shenof alam liach, afilu nechom achas milcho ba'i klipa. Bim yesh bo bekoa, no shemetub letavlim, vehu tzli roteach, kula aser. Okay. So the machaber, not surprisingly, Paskin's like Roshoni Sfarad. Okay, let's just go through this second machlokas. The, who holds that if it's only tzli? Also, lots of Rishon Sfarad, the Rashba and the Ran, and lots of Rishon Ashkenaz, Rashi. These are all quoted in the Beis Yosef. And the Shach adds the Or Zeruah and Rabbeinu Peretz, and the Smak and the Smag all hold this. The Or Zeruah, Rabbeinu Peretz. The smog. We have some Rishonei Sfarad and some Rishonei Ashkenaz. Who holds otherwise? The Sefer HaTruma is in the Beis Yosef and the Shach. You see, the Shach liked Rishonim. He actually had a great library. He had copies of all the Rishonim, which was not such a pasha thing in his days. Nowadays, fine. If you're stark and, you know, your parents can afford to give you a couple $100 to buy all the Rishonim. Those days, not so common. The Shach had all the Rishonim. And the Shach quotes, no, it's not just the Sefer Truma. He quotes that, you know who holds like him? He says, where does he get to this? 1 second. I turned the page, that was my mistake. Sefer Truma and the Shari Dura and the Rush and the Tor and the Maharil. Okay, that's a lot of Rishon. Right, Sefer Truma. What did he just add? The Shari Dura. Oh, I meant to bring it upstairs too. Okay, bring it up next time. Shari Dura, the Rush, the Tor, and the Maharil. It's a decent number of Rishonim. Okay, lots of Rishonim say that it's usher even if it's chai. How do we paskin? Let's go back to the Mechaber. Says the Mechaber, notice, you don't really have a lot of Rishonei Sfarad on this list of Machmir, so it's not surprising. The Mechaber's Machmir in both questions. He says, by tzli roteach, and then he says, by bekoy, which is pili. Or mitzvah v'tavlim v'hut tzli roteach kulei aser. Says the Mechaber, nope. Only if it's hot, and only cracks and crevices and spikes only makes a difference if it's hot. Okay, that's a very limited chumrah. Says the Rama, v'hut and ofo yimuvul shol. Baking and cooking count as broiling. Not such a big fish. Even cold. So here, the Rama is Machmir. The Rama here says the Rama. If no Hefsid Maruba. And here says the Rama only B'makom Hefsid Maruba. Can we be Makom? But if there's no Hefsid Maruba, then we're Machmir, even in cold roasted. However, the Rama doesn't say anything about being Machmir and raw. which means he's agreeing to the Mechaber in the second Machlokas. Why? As you can see, in the second Machlokas, not only Rishonei Asher, so Ramah asking Lekula. That is the Ramah. What does the Shach say here? The Shach at the end of Sukkot and Chaf Aleph says, since a lot of our Rishonim are Machmer, even in Raw, he doesn't think you can be Makel in cold roasted at all. Says the Shach, and certain Ian means he disagrees. Says the Shach, nope, we have to be Machmer here. Afilu b'makom hefsin meruba. But he doesn't say he's machmer on chai. Because really, if you think about it, there are three shitas when it's going to be a problem if it's cracked or spicy. One shita says even if it's raw. Another shita said only tzli, even cold. Another shita would say only more than tzli. Okay, so he says you can't be makel on cold because some rishonim are machmer even on raw, but he doesn't seem to be machmer even on raw. Who is Machmir? Shach doesn't seem to argue. Who is Machmir even on raw, if it's spicy or cracked? The Gra. If you look at the Gra here in Sif Katan, give me a second. At the end of Sukkot Yuches, you have Sukkotans, Venir Eker, Da Sefer Chumar, Shar Poster, Da Filu Chai Tzonein, Kol Sheyesh, Da Filu Chai Tzonein, Kol Sheyesh, Popili Aser. The Gra says, Eker, we're Machmir like this day. What are the modern-day poskim quote? Yevuch HaChmazadim says, maybe, like, if you're a rabbi for yourself, you should be a little machmer, but he doesn't want to be machmer for the rabbin. The Aruch HaShulchan is mekel. In general, most poskim are mekel against the Gra. Like the Shach, Halacha Lemaisa, we would poskim. We Ashkenazim, that is, would paskin. You know what? On the first machlokas, we have all the Rishonei Ashkenaz here. Then we'll be more machmir. Then, even if it has some ruba, we'll be even a little more machmir than the Ramah. The Shach will be a little more machmir than the Ramah. No, if it's tzli, whether it's hot or cold, once it gets softened by cooking, it'll be related to the kippah. However, in the second machlokas, if it's cracked or spicy, if it's totally raw, then we will not be machmer. We'll only be machmer if it is tzli, whether hot or cold. Okay, that's the Aruch HaShulchan and a lot of modern-day poskim. Here, we get into a bit of a question. What? You see the card? Okay. Here we get into a bit of a question, which is, soft meat absorbs to the klipa even cold? Doesn't that go against everything we've been saying in the whole beginning of the simon? What did the whole beginning of the simon say? It said that cold things just need hadacha and they don't absorb. Right? Lechor it was talking even about cold cooked things. Right? Remember Sif Beis. You shouldn't put your cold meat, etc., because you might forget to wash it. Because, after all, once it's cooked, all right, you might not wash it. Right? So it sounds like you're going to cook meat, which you might not wash, and yet it was enough to have hadacha. Isaac?
We're talking about you either had salt or other had cracks.
Well, no, here it doesn't have cracks. In this case.
Right, that makes no salt.
Aha. Okay, so let us take this piece. Soft meat absorbs to the klipa even cold. What's the problem? The problem is that seems to be too much of a chiddush. Really? Anything cooked absorbs even cold? You put a piece of cooked meat on a piece of cheese, it becomes usher to the klipa? That's a big chiddush. So what are we saying? The question is, but who ever heard of such a thing? Right? Oh, we already established that cold meat is not boleah. Now, if you want to be very nidchak, you can say, no. Everything until now, the symbol was talking about raw meat, not cooked meat. Oh, and Sif Bees, we mentioned cooked meat. Oh, that was only when it's on a plate. But at any time, the meat and cheese, the guy with the meat and cheese in his knapsack, that was raw meat, not cooked meat. Hey, it's a bit of a finish. Guys think raw? Maybe it's thin raw meat. He's going to make a little barbecue. It's just a little too dumb. It's a little too dumb to say this. So, how do we answer this question? So, one, according to the Mechaber, it's not even a question, right, Isaac? Because the Mechaber says it's talking about hot meat. Right? Fina Mechaber and Kosher. Right? But, what about according to the Rabbah? Right? Let's just see. According to the Mechaber, let's do this. According to the Mechaber, no question. Here the meat is hot. But what about according to the Ramah? So, says Isaac, no, you missed the whole point of this sif. What does the sif say? It says, ha d'maflikina b'nechol machos milcho le'ino nechol machos milcho machos le'ino nechol machos milcho. Okay, what are we talking about here? You need a pen? It says, here, we're not talking about regular cold meat. We're talking about half-salted meat. Half-salted meat is a special rule. So, the pashtos of the Shulchan Aruch, of the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, is that, no, this is a special rule for Meliach Shenechol Machmas Milcho. Now, it makes sense. Of course, coal doesn't absorb. Coal doesn't absorb. Salted, real salted, always absorbs. Kedei Klipa. What about half-salted? Half-salted depends. It depends if it's hard and raw or cooked and soft. Okay. Very reasonable. Who thought that was true misvara? The Maharshal. Right, the Shachan Taz quote the Maharshal, who says that this is obviously what I want to say. Kosov log Maharshal. Right? That's exactly what Maharshal wants to say. Right? This is what the Maharshal would have said, Misvara. Meaning, Misvara if he had his druthers. The problem is that you can't say this. Says the Maharshal of Al Ma'aseh, but what can I do? He started with the Maharai. The Maharai, that's the author of the Truma Zedeshen, right, who lived 100 years before the Maharshal, said even if it's not salted at all, salting's locked off, because this applies even if it's totally unsalted. Okay, against Rama, who says even Slitzone, this is against the Maharai. The Truma Zedeshen says, no, even if it's totally unsalted. Okay, not the end of the world, the Maharshal says. I can argue on the Maharai, right? But, says the Maharshal, he's quoted at length. He's the Kitzer in the Shach, but he's quoted at length in Taz. Where does this discussion go up? In three Sifkatans. In Shach Chof Beis, in the Shach Chaf Hei, and in the Taz Yud Beis, all have the same discussion. And he says, Ma'aseh in the Sefer Truma, and the Smag, and the Hagos Maimonios, they write mefurish that is true even without salt. So this is against the whole list of people. Who is this against? What did I just say? The Sefer Truma, the Smag, the Hagos Maimonios, and from there to the Maharai. And from there to the Maharshal Lemaisa, and to the Shach in Sivkot and Chaf Beis and Chaf Hei, and to the Taz in Sivkot and Yud Beis and all the Poskim. What are they all right? I don't like this. I'm with the Maharshal. It's so obvious that this is only if it's half-salted. This whole Siv Zion is a special rule for half-salted things. It's so obvious to me that's shot in everything, except for the fact with the Maharshal, except for the fact that you have big people who wrote that once it's not fully salted, it might as well have no salt at all. There's no special rule for half-salted. There's no special rule for half-salted. Again, I'm not talking about the Ramban, not Pikius. I'm talking about Pidina. There's no special rule for being partially salted. Partially salted is not salted. So, who say? What do they all say? They all say that Hu Hadin Afilu Lo Nimlach Klal. Whoa, if this is the Din Afilu, then this isn't a special Din of Hat. No, if it's a special Din of Hat, then that's the machaber. We pass in even cold cooked food. And they're not a special enemy partially salted. That's what I would have thought. I'm like the Marshal. That's what I really, really wanted to say. But my ass said, what can I do? The Marshal couldn't go against the Sefer Truman this morning, they've got some Moshe to my Rai. So I'm going to also go against the Shach and the Tas and all the later Achronim. Right? So if you ask me Misvara, I think the Marshal is right. But if you ask me Alpin Din, okay, so now we're stuck. Since when did cold things go lay out just because they're cooked? And the whole Siman and all of Shas and all of Poskim, it sounds like cold things are not because they're cooked. It's only this one place where we learn that cold things are Balea if they're cooked. So if there's one place something hot, then okay, then it actually fits everything else. If there's one place being half salted, then it makes sense. It's a unique case. But if this is the anytime you mix cooked food, anytime cooked cold food, touches cooked cold food, it's usher kedei klipa because it was cooked already. That's crazy. So, what do you have to say, Isaac?
Hey, it's just a special Bikayim case, no?
No, because this case is even without Bikayim. This is even without Bikayim. Bikayim is to answer all of it, but it's usher kedei klipa without Bikayim.
Yeah, you don't think these are general talk about the Bikayim case? I mean, the Ramah is coming up with the heels.
You think these are general only saying the Bikayim case?
Yeah, that is
so, true. That's,
I looked up the Hagot Mordechai, and he seems to say this.
In the Shach, he doesn't say that.
The Shach, right, doesn't say that, but the Hagot Mordechai itself, which the Shach quotes, means pre stuff.
You mean that goes by money else?
Oh, sorry, Hagot Mordechai. No, I think it's the Mordechai.
Oh, okay. The Hagos, which Hagos were it from?
Tavshin Nun Chet.
Uh-huh. And what did he write there?
I didn't.
You don't have the exact
question.
That's why you keep saying that. Now right. I understand what you're
doing. Right. We were bothered by the same question when we read the shot.
You said, okay, Peely is a special case.
Right.
That's what you're trying to say. I'm only trying to say that's what you're saying. That's not what I've seen that goes from Amenikos, which again is not a kasha.
Right.
Okay, I have to check it out. What you want to say is that this is only going on. That the case of the sleeping, the klipa is only if it's partially salted. The case of the kain being totally usher is even if it was not salted at all.
Something is more observant if it has cracks. first case, which means that it's soft and it's soft a little bit. And second case, it's unsalted completely, but it has cracks.
Okay, I hear you, Taina. I have to check out if I agree with your insight. Okay, but Lemaisa, what are the Mount people supposed to say? They all quote a Yad Yehuda. The Yad Yehuda here. The Yad Yehuda. Who was the Yad Yehuda? The Yad Yehuda lived in the 1800s. He was the rabbi of Sadigura. He was considered a very, very big posik. He's one of the people who's quoted a ton by the Darkei Tshuva. The Darkei Tshuva, both of these are on the shelf, is the second Munkatcha Rebbe. He was like the first Ba'adei Shulchan. He just quoted at great length, like a sifkat in every word, all the Achronim. And he quotes all the Yad Yehudas, and the Yad Yehuda is considered very chashuv. And the Yad Yehuda here, it's quoted by the Ba'adei Shulchan here also, by lots of other things, says, no. This case, you know what's special about Siv Zion? What's special about Siv Zion is that it was submerged. When something is submerged, it's boleya more than if just touching. When meat touches cheese, that's one thing. When meat is submerged in milk and or kutach, now I understand. Liam's looking inside and he's going to tell me that Siv Dala, there was also submerging, so it was milk and meat. And yet, there it said that if it's sewn in him, you don't have to do anything. So there, he'll have to make the okemta. That case is raw. Okay, could be. But says the Yad Yehuda that this is a special rule for submerged meat. If meat touches cheese, even if it's cooked, it's not also clean. That's ridiculous. But if meat is submerged in milk or submerged in yogurt or sour cream or kutach, whatever our equivalent of kutach is, then if it's hard and raw, it just needs to be rinsed. But if it's soft and cooked, then it'd be no pasur for the klipa. And the achronim, the man they post can pass them like this, Yad Yehuda. Right, they pass like this, the Ashkenazim. Post-com, obviously, pass like this Yad Yehuda, that what is special about Siv Zion? What's special about Siv Zion is that the meat is submerged in milk or sour cream, etc. And if now we know the rule. The rule is, if it is hot or salt or salty and ain't no nafamach of milk, it's also a klifa regardless. If it's cold and just two solid things touch each other, it just needs to be rinsed regardless. But if a solid is submerged in the liquid, then it depends if it's raw or cooked. If it's raw, it just needs to be rinsed off. And if it's cooked, it's also completely fine. But that's the case. The case is it fell into something, right? Nafal lit. Right. So the truth is, I guess you could take that different ways, right? But he's saying that based on the Gemara, and he thinks that's what it means to be nafal lit, not nafal al, nafal lit. Okay, I admit it's not a super strong deal. Lemaisa, all the Mandri's firm I've seen paskin like the Yad Yehuda. No, but kavush means it sat for 24 hours. Here, it only fell for 1 minute. Right, if it had sat for 24 hours, that would be more cover. Here, it's a special rule of cold things submerge in cold things, which is a new rule. Then it depends on all these factors. Okay. That's the post of Now, what else do we want? Oh, okay, there's another interesting discussion, which is if you hold like the again, I don't know that any of these things are likely to happen in our lives every day. But there's a big machlokas rishonim that already the Shach quotes in some kind of chavav, and then the Achronim argue about within the Ramah that cold cooked meat is also to the klipa. If you hold like this Ramah, what if the meat was hot? Says the Shach.
Can you control my screen?
Asur Kedei Klipa. Meaning, hot and cold are the same thing. There's no difference in hot and cold. Either way, Asur Kedei Klipa. That's the Shach, the Kut and Chavav. However, so many Rishonim argue that. Gosra Manius argues, right? I mean, the Shach admits this. The Shach doesn't keep secrets from us. He says, even though, even though that goes where money is, the hetera ara full differently. This isn't what we hold. However, the Beis Ephraim Haskins Aser Kadena Tila, which is a lot more than Kadei Klipa. Okay, so meaning for the Machaber, if it's hot, it's Kadei Klipa. That's the case of the Gemara. For the Ramah, the Gemara never discussed if it's hot. Would it be the same if it's hot, or would it be more chomer if it's hot? Now the Oles Kekasha, what's the Kasha? The Kasha is, this goes against Tatal Gomer, according to the Beis Ephraim. Goes against Tatal Gomer, because Tatal Gomer says that when hot falls into cold, it's only Asur Kedei Klipa. Why do we Asur Kedei Tila? And here there are two answers in the Achronim. The Beis Ephraim, according to Pesach Tshuva, says, because this is hotter than hot. Everyone knows what's hotter, meat from a soup or stew or meat from the barbecue? What's hotter?
Soup or stew? Barbecue.
What's the hottest that meat in soup could be? And how hot can the soup get?
100 degrees Celsius.
100 degrees Celsius, right? So that's not so hot. How hot does the barbecue get? Much more than 100 degrees Celsius. Therefore, says the Ephraim, Chiddush Din here, according to the Gospel of Manios, that when it's Ham Latotzoni, but the Ham is broiling hot, not just boiling hot is more than boiling hot, then it's Kedei Tila, because it takes longer to cool off. Says the Chavos Das, a different shot. He says, no, it's all that Kasha the Rashba. Says, how do you know which is top, which is bottom? On the one hand, the meat came from the top, but then the meat sunk to the bottom. So in this case, the meat is really the kutaf is tata, but the meat is also a little tata. And therefore, since the meat is also a little tata, it's bolayak de klipa. Okay, so they're different as mirror of the other shita that the shah rejects, either because it's hotter than normal hot, or because even though it's on top, it's also on the bottom a little. Okay, in any case, the Bar Yishlach wants to be machmir in this machlokas. I don't know how often it really comes up in Maisa. Yes. Exactly. They both think it's still Tatal Gavar, otherwise the whole thing would be usher. Just, it's a modified Tatal Gavar. It's a limited Tatal Gavar. Why is this Tatal Gavar with an asterisk? Either because it started out hotter than most hot things, or because the top thing switched to the bottom at some point, so it wasn't totally top. Okay, anything else I want to point out? I'll just point out one general ha'ara, general kolotar kula, or kuli or dea kula ha'ara from the taz and sukkot yud beis, because this is something Achronim agree with. It's not just one taz here. What does he say in the end here? He says a big chiddush. It's a big chiddush. Is that what it sounds like from the Ramah? But it could be. He says, what about the following case? Now, again, this is Lefi the Ramah, not Lefi the Shach. Right? Lefi the Ramah. What about the following case, Lefi the Ramah? 1 second. Right, and here he seems to argue the postures of the Ramah. Let's say you had, but the Achronim like the Taz. Let's say you had, according to the Ramah, you had meat falls into kutach, that is nechal machmas melcha. What does Rama say? Makam hefsim ruba were mekel. Makam hefsim ruba were mekel. Says the Rama. Mekilim b'makom hefsim ruba. Says the Taz argues, and a lot of Achronim prefer the Taz here. Yeah, not in this case, Lamaisa.
I mean, it's cold?
Yes. Yes. Sorry, I apologize, of course. They say, hold on a second. There are two kulas we're doing here. Number one, we're being makel, like the Rishoni Sfara against Rishoni Ashkenaz here, that cold meat is not a problem. Number two, we're being makel that it's not salted. Why is that a kula? Because Ashkenazim aren't bikiyim. So, says the Taz, Aser afilo b'makom hefsin merupa. Why? Because you can't be makel two kulos for hefsin merupa. What are the two kulas? A. Tzlirotayach. And that's the zoning B, the Anubikian B'melach. You're being makel two kulas. Number one, you're assuming, let's be makel like the opinion of sleep on staff against the opinion of sleep zoning. Because it's Hefsin Maruba. Number two, you're being makel, let's assume we know what's really Machel Machel and what's not Machel Machel. We have Bikias and Malicha. Because it's Hefsin Maruba. Each of these kulas were makel for Hefsin Maruba. But you can't be makel two kulas for one Hefsin Maruba. That's the chiddush of the Taz here, and that seems against the Ramah, because the Ramah says, we're making one hefsim ruba. So here the seems to be achlokas, because the Ramah holds you can be makel two kulas for one hefsim ruba. The Taz says you can't be makel two kulas for one hefsim ruba. That's the Taz of the very simon. He says, nirlam yisdaikin is trey kuli lo maklinim bishvil hefsim ruba. That A, that you say the Gemara only meant to ask for slivotach, and B, that we're bucky and what's he doesn't like having a double kula, and therefore he says usser. Okay, in this particular case, it doesn't make a difference. So we don't like the shach that hefsim ruba is not mat cold meat, but that could make a difference in terms of in other cases. And in other cases, many achronim are machra, like the Sklal de Taz, that you're not makel two kulas for one hefsim ruba. Okay. Yeah, please.
So according to the Machaber and Bachelet Shard, it's only hot meat. Right? So according to them, if we had cold meat, but it was maluach for orchain, that would still be very much us.
Yeah, sure. That's Eino Nechal Machas Milch.
Right.
This whole thing starts because it's Nechal Machas Milch.
Right.
Okay. Sefches is something we know already. In bas mechol neso de melicho yide kovash el bachilo v'lo v'hano. We know since it's not bishul, it's only rabbanan. Meat was salted with milk or soaked with milk and not cooked. It's only us bachilo not v'hano. I realized I forgot to go back to one line that I said we'd go back to, which was the Ramah. I remember in Sefhei there were three Ramahs. The beginning of the second Ramah said v'yesh omrim. This is going to be quite a few pages of the Hey, the mechol melicho anu misharin b'shishim. In the comments, and some people say, what is the Mishar B'Shishin? Mishar B'Shishin is code word for, it doesn't only go into the Klip or today in Tila, that the Tam goes in, the Bliya goes into the whole piece. And therefore, the whole piece is Aser, unless it's 60 times the milk. That's what Mishar B'Shishin means. If cheese is salted with meat, the whole meat is Aser, unless the meat is 60 times the cheese. That Masharim B'Shishin is code word for the Bliya goes all the way through. Why would Ashkenazim say that Malicha, the taste goes all the way through? After all, Maliach Proteach, Kavishkin Levoshim, Maliach only goes through Kedei Klipa. That's clear in the Gemara. Why would Ashkenazim say that? So the answer is because we're not Bekiyah. says the Raman Simukov, hey, we're not bekiyim what's fat and what's lean. I mentioned this at the end of last year. Right, we're not bekiyim what's fat. So basically, that line is based on Sifbog. One Sifbog teaches us that for fatty things, Malicha Asher is the whole thing and Ali Fiklipa. And we Ashkenazim are not bekiyim what's fatty and what's lean. For Ashkenazim, Malicha makes the time go through the whole piece and not just through Chidei Klipa. So that is, again, we'll discuss this at much greater length in the cafe, but that is an important yidiga. That is an important yidiga. Okay, any other questions about this Malicha? I know this is a little complex. We'll have the chazer in order to get it straight. But we can do it. Yes?
So, like, at the end of the day, it sounds like we do have some. There are definitely practical ramifications. Like, because you don't need so much salt in the end to.
Right, but the truth is, since we hardly ever salt things nowadays, even with sleep, doesn't come up a ton. Like, do we even have, like, kutach that, like, do we have things like, I guess we have, like, soy sauce, right?
Right.
Soy sauce is pretty salty, no?
Okay, but I'm saying our regular cases of sleep are going to be nachal nachal nachal. What's the definition of nachal nachal nachal, which is more than nothing but
kamo malicha litzli, like people used to salt when they barbecued unkosher meat. But now when we barbecue, we don't put any salt. But I get when we barbecue, we don't put any salt, right? So that's why it doesn't. I wouldn't say it comes up a ton. In the old days, it came up all the time. So people salted meat at home. You bought unsalted meat from the butcher and salted at home, and you got all these shyness.
Uh-huh.
Nowadays, I wouldn't say this comes up a ton. I can't remember. I really can't remember if I ever got a shayla on Maliach Proteach, I must admit. Although one never knows. I got lots of shaylas about hot food and cold food. You know, Maliach Proteach, I'm not sure. You can have things that come up according to Ramah. You can have this case that comes up, right? A hamburger falls into a cold hamburger falls into a cold jug of milk, right? Then you'd have to know what the din is.
That's assuming that it's salted.
No, because we don't pass like the Marshal, right? We pass even if it's not salted. Sif Zion applies even if it's not salted at all. So Sif Zion can apply according to us that it has nothing to do with salt. Question is, if hay and vav, really? I don't remember if I ever got a shayla on hay and vav, I must admit. Just because we don't really salt a lot of things nowadays. Not a lot, not a little. I'm not talking about adding salt to your recipe. We don't really salt things.
I don't know, I have salty pretzels or something. That's not going to be
The salty pretzels are dry, right? It's not a salting process.
Right?
So it's going to be tricky. It's going to be tricky to find a case. I don't know if you're sweating your coleslaw, right? Sweating your cabbage to make coleslaw. Again, what are the odds that then you'll get a shiloh about it, right? Seeing as how the cabbage is generally a kosher parf, right? You're salting your cabbage to make coleslaw and then discover that the cabbage is, is svichei shvius. And now you want to know how it affected your other foods. Okay. All right. In any case, it's Torah Lishma. Simon Tzadi Beis. Simon Tzadi Beis. Din im nafal chalov likdei roshel basar. Din im nafal chalov likdei roshel basar. Okay. This is a big sugya. This starts a very big, complicated sugya. The kufches in perakol basar. And Sif Aleph is a good introduction to Sif Beis, which is going to be very, very complex. And really, in Sifbeis, we'll get to all the most difficult yisodos that we're going to find in the rest of the Basar Cholov. Din im nafal cholov l'kdei reshel basar. Kezayis basar shen nafal l'toch yoreshel cholov. A kezayis of meat that fell into a boiling pot of milk. Doesn't actually matter if the kezayis of meat. It doesn't have to be kezayis, by the way. It doesn't matter if the kezayis of meat is hot or cold because it's falling into hot milk, right? And not only that, it's pretty clear it's falling into hot milk on the stove. So on the stove, then everything's cooking. Roteach, that's boiling. Toeim hagoy hakadeira. What? Okay, sorry. Toeim hagoy hakadeira. The goy tastes the, well, okay, before we get to this, let us see what the Gemara says. What does the Gemara say in Daf Kof Ches? Because the Gemara does not say what the Mechaber says, which is fine. The Gemara is going for a different cheetah. What does the Gemara, you know what, Isaac, when you get a chance, please. What does the Gemara say in Daf Kof Ches? The Gemara says, Kof Ches Amud Beis. That what's the case? Kazayas Basar Shinoflo Yorosh Alkolo. Amara Basar Asr Bakolo Motor. The Basar is straight, but Bakolo is Motor. Why is Bakolo Motor? So, that. Hakamai Skinan, Gilchin Naflo Tok. You know why Bakolo is Motor? Naflo is a Yorbo Tachas. It was in a boiling pot. Boiling here, it doesn't mean hot yatsulitis, but it means actually boiling. The mifla bala, mifla lo palat, because it absorbs and doesn't emit. When it's boiling, it absorbs and doesn't emit. Sof kinaya chadar palat. But what do you mean? In the end, when the boiling subsides, it will emit? Shakadam visilko. No, it's when you removed it first. So basically, what is it saying here? A little piece of meat falls into your pot of milk. If it falls into boiling milk and you remove it while it's boiling, then the meat is usur, but it doesn't halat, and the milk is mutter. However, if you let it sit there till the boiling subsides, then the milk will also be usur. That's clear in the Gemara. Okay, why? Let us see why in a moment. The Gemara says why. Mifla pala, mifla lo palat. So what's the case? Here we have Kazayas Basar falls into a Yore Shel Cholav Roteach. Right? I don't know if the Cholav is Roteach or the Yore is Roteach. Cholav Roteach. Fine. So then it's Roteach, not Roteach. So what's the two cases? If Kodam Vasilko, Kodam. Well, let's see. If Sile Kabasar. Sile Kabasar Lifne. Lifne She Nach. We would say a chalav, meritichaso. It fell into boiling and you took it out while it was still boiling. Then what does the Gemara say? Mivla bala habasar, the basar absorbs milk. Below, we'll put it in Hebrew. No, we can do the umiflat. Lo palat. The basar absorbs and does not emit. The basar absorbs and does not emit, and therefore the basar is usar, and the chalav is mutter. However, if nach chalav meriti chaso, adayin habasar bitocho, right? You let it die down from the boiling, and the basar is still there, then mivla bala, umifla palat. Right? The meat will absorb, the meat will emit. And therefore, the basar will be asr, and the chalav will be asr. Okay, that's the Gemara. Now, here, the Beis Yosef gets a little confused about what do we mean by mivla bala, mifla lo palat. Mivla bala, we understand, the meat absorbs the milk, meaning this kazais of meat. Let's call it a meatball, right? I don't think meatballs then. I don't know. A meatball falls into your pot of milk. It will absorb milk and become usser. But it won't emit. What do we mean it won't emit? So the Beis Yosef's half a mina is that the taste will not come out of the meat. As long as it's boiling, taste of the meat will not go into the milk. That's his half a mina. Taste of the meat won't go into the milk, and therefore the milk can't possibly become usher. Right? That's not so crazy from a scientific perspective. What do we call it when you put something into boiling water? I don't think so. But I don't actually know these things. I think you call it searing. I think blanching might be something else, but maybe it's, I don't know. Okay, doesn't matter what you call it. Anyway, when you put something into boiling water, it sort of seals it inside. Right? So that's what Yosef thinks at first. However, if you look at all the Rishonim disagree with this Hafmiya. They all say that's not true. We've seen that we boil our soup. I go home, I boil the water, I put in all the ingredients of soup into boiled water. Not boiled milk, boiled water. I boil the water, I keep it boiling, and I throw in vegetables and meat and everything else, and all of a sudden, the water starts to turn into soup and get the taste of the ingredients. Meaning, you can make soup while it's boiling. So we see that the taste does come out while it's boiling. So what did this Gemara mean? So therefore they say, no, it doesn't mean the taste of the meat doesn't go into the milk. It means that, what does it mean? Exactly. So that's very, very important. What does that mean? That means that Tom Bossar does go into the milk. So what does it mean, Lopalat? But the Chalav HaNivla B'Basar doesn't go back into the milk. That's how we pasca. I know the half meaning was otherwise. But that's what we say it means. We say it means that the taste of the milk will go into the meat right away. The taste of the meat will go into the milk right away also. But the milk that went into the meat won't go back out into the rest of the milk until the boiling subsides. Okay, that's a wee pasket. It's a nice happening the Beis Yosef had, but the Yekudas Agassiv even says here in the beginning, he says, I don't know why, but he says, about the Havamina, it's totally against everything. Okay, it doesn't matter, you're allowed to have a Havamina. But that's not a wee pasket. Now, let's see what happens. Let's see what the din is then. Now we know the Metzias. The Metzias is, as long as it's still boiling, the milk goes into the meat taste goes into the milk, but the milk doesn't go in and back out. Once the boiling subsides, the milk that went in comes back out. If so, what? So this depends, what the Torah calls Rashi and Rebbe Tam, on a machlokes between Rebbe Yehuda and the Chachamim. And the Gemara Daf Kuf Ches was going according to Rebbe Yehuda. What's the machlokes Rebbe Yehuda and the Chachamim? That will deal with at great length in Simon Sadi Ches. I know it's annoying that you're a dad. Keep saying we'll deal with this some other sinner. Okay, that's how Israel works. Machlokes Rebbe Chachamim is min b'mino batel or eno batel. Rabbi Yehuda holds min b'mino eno batel. The same type of thing, an Israel head of the same species is never batel. What does that mean? Rabbi Yehuda, what that means is that if you have 1 ounce of treif orange juice, and you pour it into a tanker truck full of kosher orange juice, it's all treif. It's not bottled in 2, it's not bottled in 60, it's not bottled in 100, it's not bottled in 1,000, it's not bottled in 10,000. Min b'mino is never bottled. If you have one drop of treif wine, according to Yehuda, and you drop it into a barrel of kosher wine, it's all treif. That's where Yehuda Shita, min b'mino is not bottled. Right? What? This is all over Shas. Min b'mino is not bottle. Rashi paskins that way. That's what the Torah says, according to Rashi. Now, Chacham is saying min b'mino is bottle. The same as min b'mino is bottle b'shishim. Right, bottle b'shishim. And that's the Torah goes during a time. It's hard to tell. Almost all Rishonim. A few Rishonim Ashkenaz follow Rashi, but most Rishonim follow. The Chacham. So let's just see what's going on here. Here we have Lefi Rav Yehuda. / Rashi, min v'mino eino batel. And here we have the Chachamim / Rabbi Natan, which is how we paskin, min v'mino is batel, just like Mimshayim. Right? Now, let's just follow the logic here. We need to add one other point, which is an important point we're going to introduce now. That point is called Chanan. That point is called Chanan. What does Chanan mean? What does Chanan stand for? Exactly. Chanan is Chaticha Naset Nevela. What do we mean by this, at the very least? When meat mixes with milk, or when milk mixes with meat, it becomes treif. So far, it didn't sound like such a big fish, right? Yes, the meat and the milk both become treif. That's a half a meter maskara dach kof ches. It says only the meat become treif for the milk also. And the meat and the milk. Even though it says los lashon di bachalei, you only the gedi seems to be hipper, but luckily the gedi and the chalav are equal. The meat becomes permanently treif. The milk becomes permanently treif. So, what happens when you first put the meatball in? The milk goes into the meatball and gets stuck in the meatball and becomes chanan, becomes treif milk. If the boiling subsides, that treif milk will go back into the kosher milk. So now, let's think what happens here. In this case, what happens? The meat is asar. The milk absorbed in the meat is asur, that's called chanan, but stays inside, right? Because if the boiling hasn't subsided yet, there's milk that goes into the meat. That milk becomes asur, but it stays in the meat. And the tam basur goes into the milk. If the tam basur goes into the milk, then why is the milk mutter? Because not the shisha was only kazayis. So you ever boil a pot that's less than 60 kazayisim? Right? And milk is mutter if it's 60 times the meat. Which again, that's why they use the example of kazayis. Because, you know, every self-respecting pot of milk is 60 kazayisim inside. Juice comes out of the meat, right? The tam basar goes out of the meat, gets mixed into the milk. So that juice needs to be bottled with shisha. Yeah. So as long as the milk is 60 times the meat, then the milk is certainly 60 times the juice that comes out of the meat, and it'll be bottled with shisha. The meat itself is treif. Yeah, eventually, you eventually take it out, right? What if you leave it in until it subsides? You never eat the meat. Then what happens? Now, the milk inside the meat, which is chanan, goes back into the rest of the milk. And what happens when that treif milk goes back into the rest of the milk? It's asur. So the milk is asur regardless, or even if the milk is 1,000 times as big as the meatball, it's all going to be asur. Because treif milk gets mixed into kosher milk, and treif milk and kosher milk is never bottled. Okay.
That's right.
What?
That's right.
Yeah, that's according to Yehuda, which is really the Gemara theory.
We paskin. Like the Chachamim. So, what happens? We paskin like the Chachamim. Okay, I was a little inaccurate here. But, okay, good. We paskin like the Chachamim. So let's think about this. The meat is asur. And we pass like the Chachamim. If you leave it in for a long time, the meat is asur. And the... Well, let's see one separate time. Okay. The meat is asur. And the tam basar goes into the milk. And therefore what happens? The milk is mutter. Now, technically, okay, something else is in Sadi Fest. Where does this whole number 60 come from? Anyone know why we care whether it's something both of the Shishim or not? Exactly. If it's under 60, you can't taste it. So why don't we just do a taste test? So the Gemara says you can't do a taste test. Whenever it's possible to do a taste test, you can do a taste test.
Yeah.
Nope. Nora says you do a taste test. So what really happens? So, here I have to correct this. The milk is mutter if if it doesn't taste like meat. I was inaccurate. Because you don't really need 60 times as much, you just need for there to be no taste. How do you know there's no taste? You do a taste test. Who do you get to do a taste test for you?
A Jew.
A guy, because a Jew can't do a taste test, because maybe it's straight. You get a guy to taste and it says, this milk tastes funny. He says, yeah, it tastes meaty, and it's usher. And if not, look, the tam basar goes into the milk, and therefore, the milk is mutter if it doesn't taste like milk, if it doesn't taste like meat. But what happens if you leave this kezayis basar in until the boiling subsides? Now, the milk inside the meat goes back into the rest of the milk. Now, what's the problem? Yeah. It's bottle if you can't taste it. It's not bottle automatically. No one thinks Mimino is bottle automatically. First of all, here there is no Mimino yet. It was... No, the case wasn't yet Mimino. Let me just... what happened here? Find another color. I can make this clearer. Can you read the green at all, Isaac and Benny and Liam? Okay. What happens here? You have milk goes into the meat, and you have meat taste goes into the milk. Better. What happens in this case? The milk taste goes into the xayas of meat. The meat taste goes into the milk. That's before it subsides. What happens when it subsides? Now, the treif milk goes into the other milk. You only have minamino after it subsides. Until it subsides, meat's going into milk and milk's going into meat. Taste of meat goes into the milk, taste of milk goes into the meat. Nothing with minamino. Only when it subsides, then you taste the milk. Treif milk taste goes into the milk. So, let's finish. So, now what happens? What's the rule of Mimino according to the Chachamim? It is bottle. It's
bottle as long as you can't taste it. What's the only problem? You can never taste made Mimino. How do you know? How do you know if you can taste made Mimino? If I mix orange juice and orange juice, how do I know if I can taste the orange juice and the orange juice? If I mix wine and wine, how do I know if I can taste the wine and the wine? So we have no choice but to use a rule of thumb. What's the rule of thumb? Shishem. So Usher, if it's less than 60 times the meat. Mutter, if more than 60 times the meat. We don't really care if it's 60 times the meat. We really care if it's 60 times the milk that went into the meat and came back out. But how do we know how much milk came into the meat and came back out? So we approximate as the size of the meat. Right? So, this is the Mechaber. Let's read the Mechaber, and then we'll have to call it a day. It says the Mechaber, Chzayis Basar Shanafel Tom Yorsha Cholav Roteya, Toy Magoyek Deri, you're going to taste it. Im Amar Sheish Batam Basar Asura. If it tastes like meat, it's all Asur, because the time of the meat went into the milk and made it taste like meat, it's all Asur. Im Lav Muteres Achil Bok Mishisha. If not, it's Mutter, even if it's only 50 or 40. If it doesn't taste, it doesn't taste. The meat is asur. That's only if you remove the piece before it re-emits the milk that it absorbed. The high, which is before it subsides from boiling. But if you didn't remove a piece of meat till the boiling subsided and the milk went back out of the meat, and now you don't have just meat taste in milk and milk taste in meat, but you have milk taste in milk, trace milk taste in the milk. Then, even though the goy does not find any different in taste, aser elam kin yesh bo shishim, it's aser, unless it's batel b'shishim, because milk in milk, you can't do a taste test. So therefore, you need shishim to be matir. So while, according to the Gemara, which was the fear of Yehuda Pashtus, the difference was over here, the pot of milk is mutter, as long as it doesn't taste like meat. Over here, it's aser no matter what the number. According to the Mechaber, the difference is much more subtle. It's like a 10% difference. Over here, the pot of milk is mutter if it doesn't taste like meat. Over here, it's only mutter if it's more than 60. And then what does the Rama say? You ever see anyone give food to a guy to taste to see if it tastes treif or not? Why is that? Because you're Ashkenazim. It says the Rama in the comments of Tzadi Chesda, Inon, and Rogan, Lissim, and Fatim, and Zgoy, Bin, and Shish, Mechol, Inyan. We Ashkenazim, we don't rely on taste testing. We just only think Shishim. So says the Rama. In this case, the meat is usher, and the milk is mutter only if it's 60 times. And in this case, the meat is usher, and the milk is mutter only if it's 60 times. Furthermore, we could erase this sif of Shulchan Aruch. It makes no difference whether you let the boiling subside or not. Once you're Ashkenazi, it makes no difference whatsoever. Let's just pause for a second and we'll take Vinny's question. What difference does it make if it was still boiling or subsided? Meaning, the meat's also either way. We care about the pot of milk. What difference does it make if meat taste came into the pot of milk or if trace milk taste came into the pot of milk? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it makes a big difference. Meat taste only ashers if it's enough to change the taste. Trace milk ashers bimashin, even one in a gazillion. According to the Mechaber, it's a small difference. Meat tastes only asters if you can taste it, which is around 60, but not exactly. Well, maybe a little less. You know, maybe 50 is enough. Milk in milk is only mutter if you have difficult with shishim, because you can't do a taste test. According to the Rambam, you can never do a taste test. And meat into milk, milk into milk is the exact same thing. Let us just summarize what this says in one very simple chart. What's the difference in tarobis of Tom Basar into Cholav or Tom Cholav Tom Cholav Usar into Cholav? According to Rabbi Yehuda, this depends on Te'ima, and this is Usar B'mashal. According to Mechaber, this depends on Te'ima, and this is depends if you have shishim or not. And according to Ramah, this depends on shishim, and this depends on shishim. Right? Because we don't rely on te'ima anymore. Right? That's basically a summary of this sif of the Shulchan Aruch.
As a matter of fact, the Rehuda Sheet of Megamino in a bottle has nothing to do with taste. It's just coincidence that it's just coincidence that they taste the same. That's not the issue. He just holds it serious and plus the Megamino is not bottle. They don't argue about taste. They both agree that there's an issue of taste. Just the difference is, Rabbi Yehuda says there's an issue of taste in different meaning. In the same end, forget about taste. Everything's also there's no point. And the Chum say, being in the same end, being in a different end, there's an issue of taste. But if the same end, how can you tell what it tastes like? So you use shishim. So you estimate with shishim. No. Because Abaye might think so. In a Bozard of Samazai. But it doesn't matter. He might. I'm not convinced. But we have the Rabbu doesn't. No, the Machlot Yehuda Chacham even besides peace. Let me give you this example. What about the following case? What if I have one? What if I have. What if I have one grape of Orla and two grapes of Heter? And I don't squeeze them. They're each in a Ziploc bag. And I don't know which is which. The Chacham would say, pot of a robe, it's mutter. It's not another domain taster, and nothing tastes like anything. They're each in separate Ziploc bags. Chacham would say, pot of a robe, it's mutter, or Yehuda would say, it's usher. They just have a form. I know you. What you think is logical. Everyone thinks that at first. Rabbi Yehuda's whole sheet is because you can't tell the taste, that taste isn't important. No. Rabbi Yehuda just holds the formal rule that maybe there's not bottle. He learns it from things that aren't even food in the first place. It's just a formal rule that maybe there's not bottle. I'll give you another example. What if you finish bringing all the Korban Pesachs and the sun's about to set on your Dal Nisan? But we worry maybe one guy. His Korban Pesach, they dropped the blood on the floor, never put on his Beach, and now his Pesach's puzzle, and he's going to have a lot of problems. You don't have to worry. Let's say you're worried. Is there any way to fix it? So, can you just scoop up a pot of blood from the floor and pour it on his Beach? And say, well, if there's one guy whose blood never reached his Beach, there's a drop of it in here, and it's okay. So, we say, no. Because if there's one drop, it's bottled to the rest of the pot. The Yehuda says yes. Maybe he knows that bottle. It's all blood. And therefore, he's still guilty as karma. Meaning, it's not a matter of tasting. It's just a formal rule. Being things that have tasting, things don't taste, being things that are food, being things that are other halakhic categories. It's just a formal rule that Midbamino is not bottle. And therefore, we pass like Rava. When Rabbi Yehuda says Midbamino, he doesn't even mean things that taste the same. He means things that are called the same thing. In proper Hebrew. He doesn't even care if they taste the same or not. Usually, Midbamino tastes the same. But not always. Right. Usually, Midbamino tastes the same, but not always. Like, for example, you have to wonder if this changes in society, but says for Yehuda that grape juice and wine are the same thing, even though they taste different. So, really, Yehuda has nothing to do with taste. I know it's confusing. I know. Even with everything I explained, I haven't explained it fully yet, but we'll get there. Okay, so I wish everyone a good evening. And I see we don't even have to start the St. Talamacha this year. Kodem tekro vania, ne? You'll get the last board, please, Isaac. And I will see you in Meretz Hashem on Thursday. And I will see Sasha and Ben as soon as possible.
I'm coming tomorrow.
And I'll see you on Sunday at the very end, hopefully.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sasha, you still in America?